Thank you for joining us here at Life Church. It's an honor to share God's word with you today. Our prayer is that you will connect with Jesus Christ as you hear his word online. We'd love to have you visit one of our upcoming gatherings. For more information, visit us online at www.liferva.org or contact our church offices and we'll be happy to help you in any way that we can. Let's go now to one of our recent services where you can experience a life-giving message from God's word.
Hey, everybody. It's so good to see you again this week. Man, I wish I could see you in person. I miss you all. Can you believe this is week number 3 of Church at Home? But you know what? I think we're making the best out of it. Everybody seems to be enjoying it, worshiping with their family. I hope all of you had a great week this week, all things considered. Here I am again. I'm coming to you from our Life Church Cafe today with just a few of our Dream Teamers here with me in order to make this service possible. And I hope you're enjoying church from home as best you can until we can meet together again in person. It looks like we're going to be doing this for some time now, at least through the end of April, which is the federal guideline for limiting our gatherings. And then, of course, you know, our Virginia governor gave a June 10 directive, which, I mean, we could end up going all the way till then. Hopefully it will be shortened, but none of us can predict. At this time, what's going to happen? Obviously, we will begin meeting together again just for our weekend gatherings just as soon as we possibly can. But I can assure you it won't be any this month of April. Now, I hope you've also been enjoying the video devotionals, LC Connect, that we've been putting out every day, Monday through Saturday. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go to our church Facebook page. You can find that at facebook.com/LifeRVA. If you haven't connected with us yet, you can do that. We have a daily devotional from one of our staff members. It's been great, so I hope you can stay connected to us that way. And finally, again, I just want to reiterate what Rodney said just a few moments ago, and that is thank you for those of you who are giving. We've already told you how you can give, so I won't repeat that again, but I just want to say thank you because not only are you helping your local church, but you're helping us help the people that rely on us. So thank you for giving. Last but not least, can you believe next Sunday is Easter Sunday? I don't know about you. I can't believe it. It just feels like it's just gotten gobbled up with all the chaos that's going on. I think probably for the first time ever, maybe since some war before I was alive, churches across America are going to be closed on Easter Sunday. Closed in the sense that the doors of the building will be closed, but they're going to be, for the first time ever, offering exclusively online services, home services, live streams. And I just want to say, let's not let Easter get lost in the midst of the coronavirus. And for that reason, today I'm going to be switching gears. And I want to mention to you that next week we are going to be doing communion next Sunday together in our at-home church service. So here's your homework for the week. This week you need to gather you some communion supplies for your family. Some type of fruit of the vine, grape juice, crackers and wafers. It doesn't have to be unleavened bread. Doesn't have to be anything fancy. Just get you some stuff together. We're going to take communion together next Sunday. Don't worry about it if it's the exact right stuff. You might be a saltine or a Ritz person, whatever it takes. But take communion with us next week. If you end up forgetting and you don't have any grape juice, get the apple juice out. Do what you got to do. We're going to have communion together next Sunday, and it's going to be great. Also want to encourage you to remind your children and your family what Easter really is all about, and be sure to celebrate the resurrection with us next Sunday. Now, this is our third week of doing church together at home. 2 weeks ago, I talked to you about how our fears need to be confronted and challenged by our faith. Last week, I talked to you about how we should be facing life today from the critical question position of, am I a believer or not? And so I'm done talking about the coronavirus for now. I believe we've given you some good word. We've given you some good counsel on how to face this. And also, there is no shortage of discussions on the topic. So I don't know about you, but I'm ready to move on. I'm ready to move on in a different direction. Today is Palm Sunday. So I want to turn our attention off of the circumstances of the moment and in the direction of the significance of what this day is, what today really means. So I'd like to bring your attention to Matthew chapter 11, verse 1 through 10. If you have your Bible, take a moment. You can turn to Matthew 11 and 1. If you don't, we're going to put the scriptures up on the bottom of the screen, and you can read along with us. Today I'm going to read from the New King James Version, and here's what the Word of the Lord says. Matthew 11 and verse 1. Now when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you've entered it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, hey, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it. And immediately he will send it here. So they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, hey, what are you doing, loosing the colt? And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded, so they let them go. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Now, today is commonly recognized in Christianity as Palm Sunday. Now, you may not know what I'm talking about, so let me just take a few moments to tell you what it means. Palm Sunday is the week before Easter Sunday. And today, we're going to find out what it is about and why we as Christians celebrate the first day of the Passion Week, the week that's leading up to Easter. Now, this religious holiday commemorates the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem just days before his crucifixion. In the Bible passage that we just read, as Jesus is coming into the city, people are beginning to cry out, and they're crying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. It was a common custom in the ancient Middle East to cover the path of somebody that they thought worthy of high honor with branches or with leaves. It was kind of like what we would do today by rolling out the red carpet for somebody to honor a king or a president or maybe even a celebrity. All of the gospel reports that people gave Jesus this very honor of laying branches in the path that he took into Jerusalem, all of the gospels do. In Mark, Matthew, and Luke, they are reported as having laid not only the branches down, but it also says they laid their garments in the streets and in the path that they anticipated Jesus to be coming down. Now, in the book of John, it's the only gospel that says this, but it specifically mentions palm branches. Now, the palm branch was significant because it was a symbol of triumph. It was a symbol of victory. Now, when some people stop and they think about Easter and they think about, you know, what Jesus went through, the march to the cross, the agony of the cross, they think of Easter almost as a symbol of defeat. Or maybe that it was, you know, the low moment of Jesus' life on earth. But see, we recognize it as being something totally opposite of that. We recognize that it was, in fact, the very path to triumph and victory, what Jesus did. Palm branches are mentioned other places in the Bible as well. Revelation 7 and 9 says this, after this I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands. Now, because of the detail of the palm branches and the scene of the crowds greeting Jesus as he entered Jerusalem by waving palm branches and by carpeting his path with them, that's how we come up with the name, and it was given today to name this day Palm Sunday. Heard a story one time about a little boy who was sick on Palm Sunday, and he stayed home from church with his mom. His dad came back from church, and he was holding the palm branch. And the little boy was curious, and he asked him, he said, hey, Dad, why do you have that palm branch in your hand today? He said, well, you see, son, when Jesus came into town and he showed up, everybody waved palm branches to honor him. So that is why we got palm branches at church today. The little boy was so disappointed. He said, oh, man. He said, the one Sunday that Jesus decided to show up at church is the Sunday that I missed. So he kind of missed the picture. But I did. Aren't you glad that Jesus showed up here today? Aren't you glad that he showed up in your living room right now? Aren't you glad that he is with you if you're sitting in your car, if you're sitting at work with your earbuds in watching this? Wherever you are, he is there with you. Don't worry, you didn't miss it. Let's talk a little bit. Let me tell you a little bit about the background of Palm Sunday. And to really understand what's happening here in this scene, it really kind of requires that we take a step back and kind of pull the curtain of history back, and let's look at some of the rich Jewish culture of their ceremonial laws and their practices. Three of the Gospels tell the powerful story of Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem, and they record these words: "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Now, it's commonly understood that these words of worship were borrowed from Psalm 118 and verse 26, where it reads this: "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord." Now, the preceding verse, verse 25, solidifies that assumption because of what it says, Psalm 118, 25. "Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity." Now, if you're taking notes on the sermon in the sermon app today, get ready, because here's your first fill in the blanks. The words "save now" relate to a significant word that was cried out by the people to Jesus on the day that he was making this great entry into Jerusalem. That word is Hosanna, or "save us." And according to the ritual of the temple, this verse, Psalm 118, 25, "Save now, I pray, O Lord," it is said to have been repeated once on each of the first 6 days of the Feast of Tabernacles and seven times on the seventh day. Now, the Feast of Tabernacles was one of the seven Jewish festivals. It was celebrated to give thanks for the harvest that God had provided for them. The Jews, believe it or not, they would actually set up and they would live in these little huts during this time to remind themselves of the time when their people were saved out of Egypt and how they had to live in the wilderness while they were on their way to the Promised Land. So this was kind of a big deal. This was a big deal feast. But on the seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles, it came to be called the Great Hosanna, or Hosanna Day. And we see it described in Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, verse 40. It says, "On the first day, you are to take branches from luxuriant trees, from palms, willows, and other leafy trees, and rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days." He says, take branches and rejoice before the Lord for 7 days. And it was during this festival that they sang hosannas to the Lord. Now, that word hosanna, some of you probably heard that. It means "save us." It also means "help me." Now, the word hosanna was used so much that it actually kind of lost its primary meaning, which was the concept of crying out to the Lord for mercy. And instead, hosanna has become an exclamation of joy, kind of a shout of welcome. It's become a proclamation of praise. Now, don't forget that during the time of Jesus, the Jews were under Roman bondage. They were under the power of Rome. The Romans during this era of time were the superpower of the day, if you will. They had conquered the entire known world. The Jews had to pay taxes to Caesar. They were to abide by Roman law, and their land and their cities were confiscated, and it was, they were ruled by the Romans. And it is in this situation and in this context that we find the Jews. They were an oppressed people who were looking for a deliverer. They were looking for a Messiah. So the desires of the Jews was to reclaim their freedom. They wanted to reclaim their land. They wanted to reclaim their sovereignty. They were looking for a Messiah. They were looking for a Savior. They were looking forward to the day that their Messiah was going to come and, in their mind, overthrow the Roman government. They wanted to be free again. They were looking forward to their king coming into Jerusalem, the center of it all, and starting this revolution. And for many of them, those who were waving those palms because they could see in Jesus the fulfillment of the messianic prophecy that they had heard, some of them, ever since they were a child. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9, it says this: "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you." And not only that, check this out. No wonder they were excited. The prophecy said, "He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Can you imagine those Jews that knew the word of the Lord, that knew the words of that prophecy, when they've already had some questions, they're already thinking, is Jesus the one? They've seen him heal the sick. They've seen him raise the dead. They've watched him in the temple. They've watched him speak and confound the Pharisees and the wise men. They've watched him from the time he was 12 years old all the way up till now. And now here he comes riding on a donkey. Wow. Could this be the one? Here he comes. Their king is coming to them. Some of them had rejected him before, and maybe even before that week was over, though, they were going to reject him again. But on this day, this Palm Sunday, they were rejoicing. Now, little did they know that in just a few days, Jesus was going to be hanging on a cross, not sitting on a throne. And 1 week from this day, Palm Sunday, was going to be Easter Sunday, as we call it today, where he would really, in fact, become their king. Not a king that would overcome Rome, but the resurrected King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But here we are on this day, Palm Sunday. There were many true believers in that crowd, and they knew that Jesus was the promised Messiah. They'd witnessed works before that he had performed. They had heard him utter great things and speak life into people. And then they had themselves uttered things like this: "We know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him." They said things like this: "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the seas obey him?" They said, "We've never seen it on this fashion." They said, "It has never been seen before in Israel." They also said, "Never has a man spoken like this man." Matter of fact, Jesus had just raised Lazarus from the dead in a nearby neighborhood just a few days before. The Bible says this: "They were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes." To those believers, he was the one who was going to restore the kingdom of Israel. Him, he would. But on this day, and on this day, he was going to become their Savior. So with joy in their spirits, they cried out from their oppressed condition. Mark 11, 9 and 10, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Again, Hosanna means, "Lord, save us. Lord, help us." They threw down before him their palm branches and their garments in thanksgiving for what they thought he was going to do. There was this spirit of expectancy. He was going to save Israel. They welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem with a celebration of victory. Folks, I'm going to tell you, they were having some church that day. They were excited. They were praising him. And there were some onlookers there, some of the Pharisees from among the multitude. They didn't like what they were seeing. They said to Jesus, they said, "Hey, what are you going to do? Why don't you rebuke your disciples?" By the way, can I just say this? There's always going to be some negative doubter or some spiritually dead person that does not understand and appreciate your praise. Praise the Lord anyhow. Amen. Forget about the doubters. Forget about the skeptics. Forget about the spiritually lazy people that they can't even lift their hands or give God a praise. You know what? Forget about them. Jesus, the King, has arrived in your life. Folks, Jesus has always loved our praise. You know what his reply to the Pharisees were? When they said, "Hey, why don't you rebuke your people?" I love what he said back, Luke 19:40. He answered and said to them, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out." Amen. So here we are today, folks, on this Palm Sunday. Now, I know it might feel a little weird because you're sitting in your living room right now or in your office with your earbuds in. But I just want to tell you, I don't care if you feel silly doing this in your house or not. I don't care if you might think you're too proud or too proper to give him a praise. We have been rolling around in the mully grubs for 3 weeks. We've been thinking about all of this stuff. The virus is doing this. The government is doing that. I just want to ask, and I wonder, is there anybody listening to this message here today who on this Palm Sunday, you love Jesus enough that before the rocks cry out, you're going to give him a praise. Amen? Does anybody have a Hosanna on your lips? Can somebody turn church at home into Hosanna at home? Come on, can somebody shout a great Hosanna instead of just woe is me? Can somebody shout our deliverer has come? Why don't you, as a matter of fact, right now, join me in giving him a praise. Father, I love you. I thank you today for your blessings. I thank you that I have a roof over my head. I thank you that I have food on my table. I have shoes on my feet, God. Lord, you know what is coming in the days and weeks to come. You are my source. You are my strength. You are my provider. And right now, God, I just give you praise. I thank you for helping me. I thank you for saving me. I thank you for all that you have done in my life. On this Palm Sunday, you may not have a palm leaf in your hand, but guess what God's given you? Two palms. Amen. You can wave to him on a permanent basis. Every time you lift your hands, every time you wave your hands, every time you give him praise in the midst of your fear, you know what you're doing? You're waving a palm before him. You're waving a praise before him. Whether we're meeting at 8378 Atlee Road, or if we're meeting in your living room, every Sunday ought to be Palm Sunday. Every day that you live, as a matter of fact, not just Sunday, Monday through Saturday, if you're a believer, you ought to have a Hosanna, a Lord save us, a Lord I rejoice in you on your lips. Folks, we don't need a crowd to praise him. We don't need a band to give us an emotional boost to make me get out of my chair. Amen. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the highest. What the crowd didn't know at that time was that Jesus was going into Jerusalem to defeat a foe. But it wasn't Rome. It was a foe much greater in power than the Roman army. Jesus was there that week to save more than just the Jews. He was there that week to purchase more than just a sliver of land in the Middle East that they're still fighting about today. Jesus was on a mission to overthrow the real power that had them bound. He was going to set them free, not only from the oppression of a government, but from the enemy of their souls. The one for whom they cried, Hosanna, was going to usher in an entirely new covenant between God and man. They saw Jesus and they were celebrating a victory, but it was a victory that they did not yet fully understand or really appreciate the magnitude of. See, they thought the Romans were the problems, but Jesus came to defeat a greater enemy, the greatest enemy of all time. He came to destroy Satan, the abuser of mankind, the devil, the destroyer, the thief, the father of lies. He was going to put death in its place, and he was coming to deliver them from themselves. Somebody listening to this message right now, I just need to tell you this. I felt inspired to tell you this morning. You need deliverance from yourself. Not just the enemy. You need deliverance from yourself. I'm saying this with all the love that I can muster, but the Holy Spirit wanted me to tell somebody, you are your own worst enemy. You, not the devil, not even this virus. Your greatest enemy that you need to overcome is yourself. Toxic thinking that continues to hold you hostage, or maybe it's a lack of submission to Jesus, not giving him lordship over your life. I just want to tell some of you right now, you're very afraid. You need to answer the question I asked last week. Are you a believer? Don't be the greatest enemy of your own soul. Because you cannot walk in faith. Hear me, church. Hear me, believers. You can't walk in faith and fear at the same time. Amen. And one of the greatest ways to drive out toxic thinking and fear is by giving God praise. Can I just say it real plain, guys? If you're waiting to get back to church before you get your praise on, you might have a little while to wait. So I want to challenge you right now, Life Church family, sitting at home in your living room. Don't wait till a month from now or 6 weeks from now or 2 months from now to praise the Lord. You ought to stand up right in your living room and lift your hands and give God praise and glory. Amen. Don't wait. Amen. Don't wait for the rocks to cry out. Don't wait. Eddie's not going to knock on your door and play the guitar for you. Lisa's not going to knock on your door and lead you in a song. You got to give God praise right now. Father, I challenge you, lead your family in praise. Mother, I challenge you, teach your kids how to worship the Lord at home. Put on some praise and worship music and have a little church in the house. Can the church say amen on Palm Sunday? What Jesus did at Calvary was the answer to the cries of Hosanna. Save us, deliver us. So he went to the cross. The deliverer had come. The Savior had come. And today on this Palm Sunday, and I ask the praise team to come back up and join me as I'm wrapping up my message here today. Today on this Palm Sunday, Hosanna must be more than a cry of praise, but it must be a cry of what the word originally intended. Lord, save us. Heal us. Deliver us. You know what our country needs right now? It needs three things. It needs saving, it needs healing, and it needs deliverance. That's what our land needs today. There's some of you who are watching or listening today, and you have a cry of Hosanna in your heart. You may not have even realized it before, but you need to cry out to the Lord, save me, heal me, help me. If you're able to right now, I'd like you to stand with me. I'd like you to stand right wherever you are. Wherever you are right now, you can find divine intervention. Maybe you're under a load right now and you want to be restored. Maybe you've lost your job and you're a little worried. I understand. Maybe you're facing some other things. It might be your marriage. It might be your divorce. It might be your finances. It might be a wayward son or rebellious daughter. It might be trouble in the job or on the job. Maybe you had a business and you're worried about losing your business. Maybe you've been waiting on an answer. Well, I've got good news for you. Today is Palm Sunday, and Jesus just walked down the street of your Jerusalem. Jesus just walked into your living room, into your office, into your car, and he's there to save you, to heal you, and to deliver you. The same God that rode into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey is the same God that rode into this service today with the wind of his spirit to receive your cries of Hosanna. Just cry out right where you are. Save me. With a spirit of expectancy, God, heal me. Provide my every need. Cry out Hosanna with a heart of repentance. See, you got to celebrate what he is going to do with thanksgiving in your heart. Expect it and anticipate it. Just like they were believing Jesus for their deliverance, we need to worship him for what he is going to do and what he is already doing. Just like they celebrated the victory beforehand, we've got to celebrate the victory right now. God knows what you need even more than you do. You just need to wave those palms and say, save me, Lord. You need to worship him today with passion and with an expectation that will release his power into your life. Some of you today, you need to confess the Lord as your Savior and invite him into your life for the very first time. You need to repent of your sins. Some of you need to be baptized. We can baptize you in the wonderful name of Jesus, just like they did it in the scripture. Some of you are believers and you need to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God can fill you right in your living room. God can fill you right where you are. Just lift those hands and invite him in. I'm going to pray for you right now, and the praise band is going to begin to sing. And let's just entertain the presence of the Lord for a few moments right in our homes. Let's do that right now. Father, we love you, and we thank you for your presence today, God. God, I thank you on this Palm Sunday at the beginning of this Passion Week, Lord, for what you did for us. I don't want to lose sight, God, of your death and your burial and your resurrection. I don't want to lose sight, Lord, of what you did. And God, I just thank you right now. And I wave my hands as a palm offering, God. I wave my hands as a praise offering to you, O Lord. And I just want to thank you for all that you've done. And I give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Let's continue to pray with our band for a moment. Can we do that?
I'm going to sing a victory. I'm going to sing a victory for the see a victory, for the battle
Our youth pastor, Stephen and Jasmine Finnis, they're going to come. They're going to close our service with prayer. But I want to say to you right now, don't let what you see cause you to not be able to see your victory. It is coming. I'm going to see a victory. I'm going to see a victory. You know why? The battle belongs to the Lord. He's going to take care of it in Jesus' name. Stephen and Jasmine.
In Jesus' name. Praise God. We're going to see a victory, ladies and gentlemen. Let us bow our heads and let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are so good. Your presence is so sweet. And we just thank you. Thank you for being our protector. Thank you for being our healer. Thank you for being our Savior. And thank you for being our Redeemer. Lord, we trust you. Lord, we just ask for blessings upon each of our families, God. Lord, give us that next step, whatever we have to take to draw closer to you this week. Lord, we love you so much, and we thank you in advance for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. What a mighty God that we serve. I hope this message blessed you. I hope Pastor Thompson's encouragement blessed you. Like Pastor said, we could be doing this for the next couple weeks, and that's okay. Next Sunday is Easter Sunday. I encourage you to invite your friends, invite your family to join you. If they can't join you physically, let's be proactive and send them the link so they can join us live for Easter Sunday. Life Church, we love you and have a blessed week, and we'll see you for Easter.
All right. Bye.